Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Pittsburgh. Padres, Pirates. Going to face Paul Skeens tomorrow. Just coming off first series win at Fenway Park. This is a great ballpark trip, Ryan. Where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with yesterday. For my money, at least, it's the most probably impressive and gratifying Padres win of the season so far. A little bit of a low bar to clear there because we're so early. I thought the way the Padres were able to rally, who was able to spark them and get them going, the sort of quote unquote core four, and just the fact that, I think it's really hard to beat Boston. I think Boston, even though they're off to a rough start, it's a pretty decent franchise, especially on the road. To take two of three there, I think I was pleasantly surprised by the way they played starting with yesterday. Kevin, take me through yesterday's game.
Yeah, I'll take you through the weekend too, because, man, there were some really good moments, and that was a really good game and a good win, but a really good game on Saturday too. Not just the finish with Fernando Tatis Jr. and Ramon Laureano coming through, and what I believe and what people in the organization believe, was a nice sign about Fernando Tatis Jr., who struck out four times and came through there. There were just a lot of good pitching moments in that game. And then yesterday, the twists and the turns, the Padres are down by four runs. They score three. That they came through and with two outs and Nick Castellanos two out single in that inning. And I'm sure we can talk about it later, is Manny Machado plays soccer with a ball. I believe he, even though my eyes tell me, we can talk about it later. It was such a Manny play. Of course it was Manny involved in that play. So then they are able to, the next inning, they sent so many batters to the plate. Manny Machado's up again, and the next inning hits a three-run homer. Padres are now up 6-4. They lose that lead. Walker Buehler doesn't have a good day. And Adrian Morejon's not available to pitch. And Jason Adams pitching for AAA El Paso on a rehab assignment, and they got to get through the game and get it to Mason Miller somehow. And they do. And Jackson Merrill hits a home run. That's the deciding run. They tack on an insurance run. There was just a lot of good stuff in that game.
Yeah. And for a team that really had struggled to hit to start the season, and whose stars had struggled to hit to start the season, to see them all step up in that manner, especially the last 2 days, I think was just huge. Tatis, right? You mentioned Saturday, and that's such a great point. Tatis was 0-for-4 with four strikeouts and down 0-2 in the count in his fifth at bat.
So Valdez Chapman
battles and then absolutely ropes the ball. Kevin, you say this all the time on this podcast, but it bears repeating. If the Padres' top players can play like stars, they're a very good baseball team.
I find it fascinating. At Petco Park this year, at the beginning to their, like, I guess you call it a hype video, the beginning before they do the lineups and all that, there's this montage, right? And it's supposed to get people, like, that brings your attention to the game and it gets you fired up about your team. And this year, their choice is this video montage of the core four. Mm-hmm. And there's others that are in it, but it starts out with them. And then Craig Stammen, from what I believe was a press gaggle in spring training, but regardless, it's Craig Stammen, the manager of the Padres, lists all of them: Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis Jr. If we can get those guys going, or he says something to that effect, there's nothing we can't do. Mm-hmm. That's like their hype video. Like, they're putting that out there. Like, they're not making a secret. This is how we win. Yep. And that's not to say all these other things aren't important. Your bullpen can blow games. Your starters can have you out of games. Obviously, you need other players to step up. But on a regular basis, the core four has not come through. Just like on a regular basis when they had the big four with Juan Soto, did not come through enough. And so guys have been injured. They played less than half of the games they could have played together. But yesterday, they had a hand in all eight runs the Padres scored. either by driving them in or scoring them. Like that, it was a big game. They had 9 hits, 2 home runs, a couple doubles. Xander Bogaerts reached base every time he came to the plate, really good at bats. It's a big run.
Yep, absolutely. And Xander Bogaerts is a part of that core four. You know, I think that there's a segment of the Padres fan base that's like, okay, so Tatis, Machado, Merrill, and who, right? But it's Xander Bogaerts, and you wrote about it last week as they entered Boston. You know, he knows he hasn't been that guy for them, but there have been stretches when he's been very, very good. I think that contract brings with it a level of expectations that he is not meeting, but he's still a pretty darn good baseball player most nights.
And that he is, like, there's no getting around that he's a shell of what he was in Boston. I don't know what that means. I don't know that he can never be that guy because of these extended periods of time. Not just like, oh yeah, Xander has a couple good nights and then he gets fired or something. I don't know, but like, it's extended periods. But the reason that he's a part of the core four is he has to be, right? Like, you're paying him $25 million a year for a long time. Like, you're not just riding this out this year. Like, he has to be a part. He has to be considered a part of the core four. I absolutely understand that you wouldn't include him or that you wouldn't think of him as that guy. And maybe you've lost hope and all that. I get that. He has to be considered a part of the core four because they have to build around him. Until such time that they decide that it's untenable and they're going to package a couple of their best prospects and eat half his contract and send him somewhere, Xander Bogaerts is the part of your core four.
Yep, absolutely. The Padres are hitting better, and so sort of my concern meter is down a little bit. You know, I think that there was a stretch there the first week of the season where you go, what the hell is going on, right? That said, back end of the rotation continues to give me some cause for concern here. Walker Buehler was not good yesterday. Germán Márquez pitches today. This is, I think, going to be an area of focus for a lot of fans early on in this season, especially if these guys give you 3+ innings and get shelled. You know, what are they talking about over there? And is it simply a matter of time just waiting for somebody like Joe Musgrove, or are we waiting for Matt Waldron?
All of it. These guys to get better, especially back-to-back nights. Yeah, you got 2 2/3 out of Walker Buehler yesterday. You got 2 good innings, like really good, and 2/3 bad innings, which equals 2 2/3, and he's out. And you can't do that again tonight, or, you know, you got to call up some people. And I don't know at this point, since your guys that are down there are rehabbing, I'm not sure who it is that you call up. You know, it's probably Logan Gillespie for another emergency, period. Germán Márquez, and it's interesting, it's online right now. Jeff Sanders wrote about it, and you don't ever want to say, oh, that was it. But they really believe that based on little tells, he was letting the Giants know what pitches were coming. And look, has he been doing that for a long time? I don't know. This was his first start for the Padres, but evidently it was blatant. So I thought that was interesting. So let's see tonight, right? Because he looked okay in spring. I mean, toward the end. It's a thing. They're very encouraged by Matt Waldron. And then it's kind of wait and see. They're encouraged by Joe, but there's no news on Joe. It's like encouraged because MRI shows that surgery was good and there's no going back. There's no physical setback, but he's playing catch. That's it. There's no timetable to get him on the mound. It could happen 2 days, but it might happen in 2 weeks. So, and Griffin Canning, you know, really hasn't even pitched to like real hitters yet. So Matt Waldron is your closest one. We'll see. But yeah, that's the thing that you want to see unfold here over the next couple weeks is, where are you going? Because I think, okay, Nick Pivetta, he was fine in Boston. His last start there. He's going to start here in a couple, or tomorrow against Paul Skenes. Michael King, yeah, what? Okay, fine. Like, there's not something to worry about. We want to see him get to where he's giving you the quality starts and all that. Yeah. Randy Vasquez, oh yeah, fine. Okay, what are you doing with those 2 spots that come back to back?
And if right, they're pitching back-to-back nights, which is a major problem for your bullpen. I mean, if you have to fill, if you have to fill five innings a night, you're not going to be able to go through that rotation too many more times. Like, that's, to me, that's the concern. Our colleague Tom Krasovic talked to Matt Waldron last week. I thought had a really insightful column about sort of what he is doing differently. He is throwing harder, and it appears as if he is throwing fewer knuckleballs, which is a total 180 from what they wanted him to do a year ago, but more in line with what he has always told you guys, correct? That he considers himself a pitcher with a knuckleball and not a knuckleball pitcher. Correct.
Yeah. And it's like this thing I wrote about it, his first start, which ended up being his only start in spring, that it, gosh, it sure looked like it was trending that way, that Matt Waldron back against the wall. He's been pushing that I don't want to throw my knuckleball as much. They've been pushing, you got to throw your knuckleball. It's so unique. It's your best pitch. And then it's there like, okay, look, here it is. Like, do what you want to do.
Your career.
Do what you want to do. And so, hey, I think a lot of us, right, we make our best decisions or we figure it out when we have to. And so now look, we say figure it out. Matt Waldron, we talk about this, in 2024 was the Padres' best pitcher for 2 months in the middle of the season while their other starters were struggling. Matt Waldron, didn't have a good record during that time, but Matt Waldron sort of kept them afloat until they could have that incredible final 3.5 months. It's not like this guy has been awful all the time. There just hasn't been a large sample size. But yeah, he has just constantly been in angst over, oh, what kind of pitcher am I? And, you know, so, all right, good for you, Matt. Like, because here's the thing they'll tell you. And the guy who taught it to me more than anyone a good 10 years ago was Craig Stammen. Conviction in your pitches is the number one thing that you have to have. So if Matt Waldron is believing in himself more, maybe he's going to be a better pitcher.
Yep. If that's who he thinks he is, right? If he's not to get too dorky here, if he's more R.A. Dickey than he is Tom Candiotti, right? He's a hard throwing dude with a knuckleball, which was what R.A. Dickey was. If that's who he thinks he is, maybe there will be some more conviction there. He fascinates me, Kevin. I know we talk about him a lot on this podcast because he's so different from everybody else. Yeah. He's going to get a chance, it seems to me. As if he's going to get a chance here, whether that's either as a back end of the rotation guy or a long guy.
I think as a back end of the rotation guy, though, it will be interesting. What do they decide to do when, you know, he either has to come off the rehab assignment as there's a limit or, you know, it's like it's time. He's ready to come and give them 5+ innings. Do you go Germán Márquez, long man? What do you do? Yeah. Do you let go of Márquez or Buehler? They do seem encouraged by Walker Buehler. And I know that you don't want to hear this. And it doesn't matter because this is the big leagues. But I mean, in terms of it didn't matter yesterday, like he didn't pitch well. But the fact that he's doing it for two innings is encouraging to them. And when I say doing it, new arm angle, some different angles on his body, slightly different pitch grips. Like there's a lot for him to have to do in what they call in real time. It cracks me up. That's the new catchphrase in baseball, in real time. You know what? We're doing this in real time right now. What they mean is like on the job. He's like learning on the job. He's on the fly. Like this isn't spring training. Walker Buehler, by the way, as Randy Vasquez was at the beginning of last year, getting in shape and figuring out some things on the fly in real time, Walker Buehler is kind of having an extended spring as the Padres' number four starter. And because they are reworking, he keeps talking about how this is his third year of being a different kind of pitcher. Okay, well, there's some more changes this year that Walker Buehler is having to make and is making. There has to be some patience for Walker Buehler.
And Walker Buehler is going to get a longer runway than Germán Márquez, it seems.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, but remember, and I know it's not a lot of money, but the Padres don't have a lot of money right now until the new owner, maybe. Not new owner as in maybe there'll be a new owner, but the new owner will maybe be investing more money. They did guarantee, I mean, well, they're both guaranteed, but like Germán Márquez is guaranteed a little more. We'll see. Yeah. Walker Buehler has been more promising. Let's say that, but we are one real start in Germán Márquez's time.
That's true. And again, like Joe Musgrove will be back at some point. Griffin Canning will be here at some point. All of a sudden, you know, if you're somebody like Márquez or Buehler, you know, this is an audition for being a part of this rotation the back half of the season. Because right now, as it stands, there's not room for either one of those guys.
It is true. Yes, because you don't see Randy Vasquez doing the up and down thing again this year. So yeah, that's the reality. Like they're begging for that now. They're begging to have to make these tough choices now. Right now, it's like it's what we're talking about here. I don't need to recap what we're doing here and like who's going to be the guys. But it's not like there's not enough room for them right now. Right. But that's what they're hoping for. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, can we talk lineups real quick? It's been a very long time since I've looked forward to the tweet that Jeff Sanders sends out every day with that day's lineup. Because under Mike Schild, it was fairly consistent. Craig Stammen's trying a little bit of everything, it seems to me. Is that good or bad? And why? Give me some insight. You speak Craig Stammen better than anybody I know.
I understand why fans don't, and especially after 2 years of Mike Schilt, where, you know, like the lineups were, as you said, fairly standard, and especially key guys in the same spots. And Mike Schilt gave you just this air of every game is super important. And don't mistake that Craig Stammen and the brain trust, and it's always been a brain trust. Craig Stammen just more honest about it being a brain trust. And maybe it's more of a brain trust now, like a combination of collaboration. And he's certainly more open to input than the past manager. But every game's important to Craig Stammen and to AJ Preller and everybody. But they also have a philosophy like, we got to figure some stuff out about how do all these pieces fit. And this is the time to do it. So we're trying to win, but like trying to win doesn't mean, well, we've got all the answers. Trying to win means we're trying to find all the answers. This is the lineup we think today is going to give us the best shot. And if it works out and we like what we see and we liked how the baton was passed, as they say, and we like the at-bats and we like how this guy looked here, we'll keep it that way. If not, hey, we'll take another look, after the game and, let the guys know where they're going to bat. We've talked about it before. You've got Castellanos, Andujar, Ty France. All three right-handed hitters, all three play basically they offer you the same thing defensively in terms of positions and all that. Some have strengths, some have weaknesses, but they're you got to fit them in. And there's not like one of them's left-handed. And so, there's some challenges there and they're trying to figure that out. And it's fascinating. And also, I think a little bit of it is gut. Like Stammen, who does have final say and does make the lineup. It's not the front office coming down. There's suggestions. There's talk. There's things pointed out to him. But he is going, hey, you know what? I like the at-bats. Ramon Laureano's going to, we're going to bat him second. Oh, next day, we're going to bat him first. And, yesterday's worked. I don't know. They're facing a right-hander the next 3 days. Yesterday and the day before, they faced left-handers. We'll see.
Yeah, that's it. The Pirates are 6-3. I believe they've won 5 straight. Heading into the series.
I know everyone's talking about them like they are just, I remember a couple years ago, man, they started hot and people were talking about them then too. So we'll see.
I picked them to get a wild card spot this year. I think that this is a team. This is not your father's Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't know what the phrase is there. But yeah, it's interesting pitching matchups the next few days. Germán Márquez goes up against Bubba Chandler tonight. Tomorrow, like we talked about, Paul Skenes. Padres finally faced Paul Skenes the first time, correct?
Yep.
And he goes up against Nick Pivetta. And then on Wednesday, you have Mitch Keller going up against Michael King. in the series finale there. I don't want to talk too much about the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm not sure they're terribly relevant to us. But what do you make of them? Who are you excited to see?
Well, you're right. They went out and they tried a combination of the old Padres and many teams method, which is let's get some guys like Ryan O'Hearn, right? That like if they have a good season, we are going to be much better. And we're, you know, this, if we get these two or three guys to have the season of their life, then we'll be good, because then they, when I said a combination, they also have Connor Griffin, number one prospect. And now he's their starting shortstop. They have a couple pieces already, and O'Neill Cruz and the most boring Brian Reynolds. They have Paul Skeets, Bubba Chandler, a rookie pitcher. I think Mitch Keller, I seen Mitch Keller shove on the Padres, and I think seen the Padres blow him away. So, but he's a solid pitcher. They have a good team. The reason I was kind of sarcastic in the beginning is I do remember a couple years ago, the Pirates, you know, kind of had, I think it was Paul Skeens' rookie year, and they started super hot, and it was like, this is not a good team. This team is more promising than that. And the highlight of this week, Rockies are after this, the highlight of this week should be tomorrow night, Pivetta versus Skeens. First time in 3 years. Like one of these times, there was like the Padres were gonna face him. The four times they played the Pirates, and then the Pirates decided to give him extra days rest. And so he missed the Padres. It's like they've just missed him. And it's like, you're like, hey, I wanna see Paul Skeens up close. Don't wanna see Paul Skeens. It's not like anybody was crying to not see him. So not very many guys have faced him. Obviously, if you've been with the Padres for a couple of years, you haven't. But, you know, Manny and Tatis just did. I believe both had infield singles. But Manny and Tatis both just did in the World Baseball Classic.
That's right. That's right. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode, and today's no different. Simple question. What was Manny Machado doing at first base there?
If you watch slow motion, no bias. You're not the Fenway faithful. You hate him. You're not the Padres. You're not the Padres fan who, you know, thinks Manny's the greatest. No one has given you any. You just watch it. You go, oh, he kicked that.
Yeah,
that's my belief. But remember slow motion. Remember what it would take to do that, and to do it in a way that you're going to get away with it. That's pretty hard. But wait. If there's one guy cogent enough on the baseball field, smooth enough to pull it off, it's Manny Machado. Maybe Tatis, maybe a handful of other people in the game, but wow, Manny, you clever slime sucker. I can't get that out of my head. Now, I will tell you this without speaking out of school. The conversation in the clubhouse yesterday, there's some players that didn't even know it had happened. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that was, they thought, whatever, maybe they were getting ready to bat, maybe whatever. They thought it was just a throwaway, right? And Manny insisted that it wasn't. Now, why would he come out and say that he did it? You know, not even a wink or a nod or anything like that. And Manny is also the kind of guy to be like, yeah. I don't have an answer for you, because I'm not going to call someone a liar. And I will say that if you just watched it live, you go, oh, there's no way he could have.
Right.
You watch it slow motion, you know Manny's background. And I say that as a compliment, not like, oh, the bad Manny, the booed Manny. I'm saying, yeah, there's a pretty good chance. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it looked intentional to me. I also think, you know what? Heads up baseball play.
Yep. Manny, there's the bottom line. Great point. Regardless, you get away with it, and it was a terrible throw.
Yeah.
So
right. Heads up baseball play. And you know, people talk about Manny Machado's raw skills and the fact that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. The thing that they don't talk about is his baseball IQ, which is savant level, off the chart great. Right? We've seen this. If you watch him every day, his baseball IQ, he's a great base runner. He is, for a guy who's not a fast person, You know what I mean? He does things out there. And yeah, does he blur the lines sometimes? Absolutely. But you know what? It was a heads up baseball play, intentional or not. To me, if there's one guy on the Padres who could do that, like you said, in real time, our new phrase, Manny Machado's the guy. Don't you think?
I love it. I'm loving it when those phrases get around and I go, oh my gosh, this is the new phrase. First you hear it and you go, is it me? Is it me? And I love that. Anyway, yes, no, without a doubt. And you know, I was going to take this time and I'm going to try not to be derogatory. It happened again the other day. Manny hit a ball to shortstop and basically walked to first base, right? And the whole press box of the guys who and ladies that don't see him play very often, there's kind of a moan and a, oh, yeah, Manny being Manny or whatever. And it's like, you know, even though I'll say this, a later play, there was a similar play. There was a throw that had Manny busted his butt out, he would have beat it out. Mm-hmm. That happens 3 or 4 times a year.
Right.
But on this particular play, there was a 102% chance that he was going to be out. Mm-hmm. And him running up the line at full speed, like Jackson Merrill at 22 years old, and Jackson Merrill being the kind of player he is just freaking stupid.
Right.
Manny Machado, other than the elbow injury, would have played like 30 or 40 more games than even Paul Goldschmidt, the you know, first baseman, that played more games than anyone in the league for 8 years, never went on the IL, because Manny Machado knows how to play baseball. And that busting his butt down the line every single time just doesn't make sense. Right. Now, I notice, because I want to make sure that when I'm defending him or, you know, being critical of him, that I'm doing it with a, you know, a sober mind. I do notice the 4 or 5 times a year, second baseman bobbles it, right? Mm-hmm. And if Manny'd hustled, he would have made it. 4 or 5 times a year.
Yep.
That's it. Not worth Manny Machado at 33 or even back at 29 years old, risking 100 times a year pulling a hamstring.
Yep.
Sorry. Yep. It's just not. So I get it. You know, but this is an old man who probably 10 years ago would have been ripping Manny Machado too. Or any player like that, because, you know, all that. But also, I didn't like bat flips 10 years ago, and I didn't like touchdown celebrations 10 years ago. And I love all of them now, because you grow. You grow and you learn.
Yes, yes. The evolved Kevin Acey. I love it.
I turned old man on you. You asked me a harmless question, and I turned old man on you.
No, I love it. I love it. Padres Pirates 3-game series, 340, 340, and then a day game in the next 3 days here when the Padres come home for a 4-game series against Colorado. Kevin, enjoy that flight all the way back just to go back to the ballpark on Thursday. That sounds great. Yeah, we'll have plenty to talk about again ahead of that series against Colorado. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.